Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Hope to sweep the sun with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for Saturday, December 27th and Sunday, December the 28th. Well, friend, we come to the final 30-minute broadcast of the year. I certainly appreciate you for listening. Remember, a lot of these stations carry our daily radio broadcast Monday through Friday, and that's 15-minute broadcast. And also, you can get that at gbiradio.org. And then our stations, the three stations that we own and operate, carry our 5-minute daily program, A Call for Revival. You can check there on our website, and there's a Call for Revival page if you want to hear those broadcasts. Well, the Lord's blessed me this year. We have done something this year that I've always wanted to do ever since I was a young man. We got a brand new radio station on the air, WGBI 90.9 FM. In Mount Airy, North Carolina. Now, I do not know if I have welcomed the listeners or not. I can't remember. Back in October, November, maybe I did. But I do want to welcome all of you listening over the new WGBI 90.9 FM in Mount Airy, North Carolina, as we continue broadcasting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, of course, owned and operated by our ministry. And the Lord's let me do that. Now, it was a struggle this year. We had a hard year. But the Lord's blessed us, and I appreciate what the Lord has done for us this year. And then other things, I feel that I've been drawn closer to the Lord this year through the battles and the troubles, and God's helped me. And I thank God for what God's doing. I just want to say I thank the Lord for every supporting church, every individual that supports, every person that took a day sponsor in our radio station. You know, for the first time in history for this coming year of 2026, we got all those days taken on our stations, and I praise the Lord for that. That had never happened before, and our areas really got behind the Christian radio, and I appreciate it. And then let me just say that that I am looking forward to this coming year of 2026. I've got some things I'm working on and praying about in my mind, and I want to hopefully we'll get to make some announcements this coming year that we're going to do some stuff for the glory of God. Amen. And I love you people. I love all of you. I love every station that I'm on. I appreciate each and every one of you. Some of you even air the program 2 and 3 times extra. And I want you to know that I appreciate that. That does not go unnoticed. And I appreciate that. Amen. God's been good to me down through these years. I'm a little country preacher. And I was raised in Rhonda, North Carolina. I've never got over where I come from, what I've done. But I've seen God do things beyond me. And I've seen this ministry get beyond me. And it's not about the ministry. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you know heaven's not about you? It's about Him. Amen. All is about Christ. Amen. Now, as we come to the final broadcast of the year, I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to start your year outright next year in prayer and in the Bible. I want you to start it outright. Amen. I want you to start out by this day, the 28th day of December. I want you to start out by going to the house of God. Amen. All right, we're going to finish message number 31 as much as we can today in the life of David. I've understood why in the world we'd put a 20-year-old boy pastoring our youth when we need we probably need a 50-year-old. If you're going to instruct youth, you need somebody older to give them experience, you see. I don't understand. I'm not against that. Now, somebody said, he preached against our youth, pastor. No, I didn't say that. I'm just simply telling you that you young preachers don't have to have a title. You know, my good friend, and he was some of your good friend, Dr. Stennett Ballou. Y'all remember him, don't you? Did you know he did have a doctor's degree? But you know Brother Ballou, and they called him Brother Ballou. Brother Ballou never had a title at the church where he served. He served Brother Sammy Allen there in Georgia for many, many years. He served him there in the camp meeting in the church. And I know personally because I was with Dr. Ballou when he was on the phone with Brother Allen about the church and things. I didn't try to listen to their conversation, but I knew he was talking to the pastor. I knew he was on. And so what I'm saying to you, but you know what he said himself? He said, I don't have a title. Why, some of you young boys would die if you didn't have that title hung around your neck. You want men to, they got to call me youth pastor. They got to call me, whatever it is they call me, all these titles. You know, they got to call me this pastor, that pastor. Well, why don't we just call you preacher? Amen. By the way, I am going to say this while I'm going ahead and digging in here. You should never refer to your preacher as, hey, Don, Hey, Sam. Hey, Bob. They're not Bob to you. They're not Sam to you, all right? They're a preacher, our pastor, our brother. Amen. But don't ever refer to your pastor by his first name. By the way, don't ever refer to your youth pastor by his first name. Don't ever do that. He's not Don or Sam or Caleb or whatever. He is preacher. And we need to get preacher back in front of that. Amen. We need to get man of God back in there. See, what our problem is today is we want our preachers to be our buddies. And our preachers want to be the buddy. They want to be the buddy with the congregation. So if you're their buddy, you're on their level as far as trying to preach to them. And they're not going to respect you. I can't be your buddy. I can be a friend to you. I can pray to you, but I can't be your best buddy. Well, I preach to thousands of people every day. Let's see, if I had 100 men invite me to go fishing with them, well, I'd be fishing all the time, and I'd never get no preaching done. Amen? Now, there's nothing wrong with fishing. I like to fish. And a blind man can fish. I'll tell you that. He can do that. Amen? He can. But here's the deal. What I'm trying to say to you is this. I think you know what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, that we ought to refer to our men of God. Our men of God ought to be men that you, if you're going to have a youth pastor, make sure your young people respect him. Amen. Your youth pastor shouldn't stand and water fight with the kids and all that. And I know there's nothing wrong with playing games and things, but I'm going to tell you, the youth pastors get involved. You get on their level, you can't preach to them. If you don't stay in your place as a man of God, you can't preach. If you start wrestling with the boys and you start to, you know what, you've lost your respect right there, fella. Now you say, preacher, I don't like that. I'm just simply telling you that people respect you for how you are. You know, I wear a shirt and tie and coat to the pulpit. By the way, I'm going to continue doing that, okay? You know why? Because that's my uniform. You wouldn't ask a United States soldier to get out of his uniform. You say, well, preacher, we dress down in our church. Well, you can do what you want to do. But if I come preach for you, I'm going to have a shirt, tie, and coat. Amen. If it's hot enough, I may take my coat off, but I have a shirt and tie. But I'm telling you that we ought. It's important that we look like men of God. How in the world I got in all that? I don't know, out of the life of David. But anyway, the Lord. All right, so let me move on here. I've got to move on. Look at verse number 8, Matthew 23:8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. We're to refer to each other as brother, not necessarily doctor so-and-so, and we do it all the time. We all do it, but really, we're to refer to each other as brother. Verse number 9, and call no man your father. Well, that opens up a lot of doors right there, don't it? Upon the earth, for the Bible said, one is your father, which is in heaven. Verse number 10 says, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Verse 11 says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Now here's what David is getting ready to learn. Now David is a young man. David comes back with the head of that Philistine in his hand. And David is getting ready to learn some humility. David is getting ready to learn what this is going to cost him. And I've got to move on. All right, so let me quickly move on. Now, 1 Samuel chapter number 18 and verse number 8. And I've divided this verse, so I'm going to have to move quickly. All right, the Bible said, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Boy, now Saul was in a mess here. I mean, this saying, it just, as the old fellow said, it rubbed him the wrong way. I mean, you know, I mean, brother, it rubbed his fur the wrong way. And he didn't like that as he was going. Now, everything was good, but he didn't like that. So now let's break this verse up and look at it just a little bit as we get back to the life of David. All right, and I'm not, I want you to say, all right, now, so first of all, we see, he said, and Saul was very wroth. Now, that's where he made his first mistake. Saul was a fleshly king. He was a fleshly king, and he heard this, and to give you an old country expression, he got mad as a devil. Amen? I mean, he's just mad, and he got plumb wroth. Now, the word wroth here means hot, angry. It means burn. Well, now, I'm going to say this. Anytime, preacher, anytime, Christian, anytime, lady, that you get mad, as one of my good friends said, Brother Sammy Allen said this, he said, when you get mad, you're not 100% sure you're right. Now, you get mad about something, you ain't 100% sure you're right. You know that? Boy, I tell you what, sometimes we get mad, don't we? Amen. You get mad, I get mad. We've all people just do stuff. And I mean, it seems like sometimes if you ain't careful, as one fellow said, sometimes I can just feel it boiling up inside me. You know that? You can too. Don't you get spiritual. The Bible said, be not soon angry. The Bible also said, be angry and sin not. There's a time to get mad about things, but not like Saul did. And Saul heard that statement, and boy, he was mad. I mean, he was hot. I mean, he was hot. Well, David had slain his 10,000. Saul had slain his thousands. David his 10,000. Boy, he was hot. Now, let me say, when you get hot, when you get angry, you're going to mess up. The Bible said in James 1, verse number 20, he said, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Amen. And so when you get mad, you're not sure you're right. I'll never forget this. I think I told this on another, and I may have told this during this series of Best Buy. It brought right to my mind. 41 years ago, me and my brother were young, and we were going to church on Wednesday night, and we'd come back, and we'd stay there at our granny's house some. And we went to church, and the preacher at that time, our pastor, was going through the book of James. And as he's going through the book of James, he is in those verses that night on "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, swift to hear," you know. And I had no idea my brother was even listening to that sermon. And we got home, and us being boys, we got into an argument about something. And I was going to clean his clock. I mean, I was going to punch his lights out. I done had my fist ready to go upside his head. I was going to give it to him. And about the time I started to hit him, he said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." He said, "You remember what the preacher said tonight?" He said, "Slow to speak, slow to wrath." He said, "Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And brother, I tell you, he used the Bible to his own advantage that night. Amen. It saved him. But here's the thing about it. He saved me from doing something. By the way, you remember David later in life? David got mad at Nabal and Nabal's men, and David come down there and he was mad. He never prayed about it. He just girded his sword. He's going to go fight an Abigail, that great lady of the Bible. And many of you ladies are named Abigail. You're named after Abigail in the Bible, that great lady Abigail in the Bible. And she stopped David from doing something he would regret later. All right, so we see that Saul was very angry. Now, the Bible said in Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." When you get mad, you're being very foolish. Now, the word "resteth" there means to settle down or remain. When you get mad at somebody, you, my friend, are the loser. You know that? When you, as one fellow said, when you're slinging mud, you're both losing ground. And I don't get in these fights with people, and I don't, "Oh, I'll just go punch his lights out." No, sir, I'm not going to punch anybody's lights out. Amen. No, sir. I don't fight. Amen. And you say, "Well, why?" Number one, God said it's wrong. Number two, I'd get whipped. Amen. I don't get whipped, so I don't fight. Amen. So, anyway. All right. So, Proverbs 22:24 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." If you see a man's got a bad temper, you need to get away from him. By the way, girls, I'm going to give you some advice. Can I give you young ladies some advice? Will y'all take it out of an old preacher? If you're dating a boy and he's got a temper, I'd get away from that. I'd get away from that. If he breaks things, busts his thing, I'd get away from that. I'd get away. You don't need to marry that. No, sir, you need to get away from that. Don't do that. I tell you, God's had to do a number on me about my temper. I was raised in a home, and I guess you'd call it free expression. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but I just invented a new psychological term. But anyway, I mean, buddy, you get mad if you want to. You break something if you want to. You can do anything you want to do. But you know, that wasn't right. That was not right. And I had to learn, even as a Christian, even as a preacher, I had to learn to help that temper a little bit. Amen. I had to learn that. Amen. And that's why you'll learn more as you get older. Now, let's go to the middle part of that verse, the next line of that verse. He said, "And the saying displeased him." Now, remember what they were saying. David has slain his, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s, and that displeased Saul. Now, let me say this. When you are moved by words, you're moving in the wrong direction. When somebody can move you by words, by saying, you know, little kids will call each other names, you know that? And then somebody say, "Them's fighting words right there," and you call names, then upside the head to go with the feet. Let me say this, when you're moved by words, I'm not talking about being edified by spiritual words, but when you're moved by ungodly words, I'll put it that way, you're headed the wrong direction. When somebody does something to make you mad, if that moves you, then you're heading in the wrong direction. You're going downhill. "Well, I'll get even with him. I can't believe he said that about me." Well, I tell you what, he wrote an article about me on social media. I'll write one about him. Well, you're moving in the wrong direction. You churches need to learn to quit fighting your battles on social media and on your church signs. And I make no apology for saying that. It is a disgrace, it is a shame, and it hurts the cause of Christ when you do that. And you should never fight in public. You should never do that. This social media will be the ruination of our nation. I hate to tell you that. Some of you are addicted. You're addicted to those phones as bad as a man is to dope and alcohol. You're addicted to them. And you can't lay them down 5 minutes. And you've got to know what everybody's doing. And I mean, one of the dumbest things I've ever seen is some, and I'm talking Christian people do this, and I think it's just one of the dumbest things I've ever seen, that they'll get mad at each other and they'll unfriend somebody on social media. Well, first of all, you say, I got 5,000 friends. If you had a flat tire, would all 5,000 of them come help you? If you really got sick, would all 5,000 of them come with you? You may have acquaintances. You may know who people are, but you don't have 5,000 friends on there. You need to live in reality. Amen. And I tell you this, and getting mad at a brother or sister and unfriending them. I'll unfriend you. Well, brother, you can do what you want to me, amen, because I don't do anything on it, amen. But I love you, and I'm going to preach to you every day as long as God give me breath to preach and love you and just love you and love you and love you. But I say this to you, that old Saul got mad about that. Boy, he didn't like it. Now let's notice the next part of that verse. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. Poor little Saul, he's having a pity party now. I mean, why they've give David 10,000, just give me 1,000. Why, you know, when you start down that road, Saul was all about the flesh. He never prayed. He never inquired of God. He never sought an altar anywhere. And brother, I'll tell you, he was all about the flesh. And so, therefore, his kingdom was fleshly. And boy, he was fleshly. And now he's starting down a road that is a wrong road. He's starting down this road of, and it starts like this right here. You hear something you don't like. Maybe pastor in your church, you hear something you don't like, and you get in the flesh. And I'm going to say something to you, pastor. Now, I want you to listen to me real close, okay? Now, many of you know more about pastoring than I do. But I've got this from God, and I believe it's right. If you ever lose your temper in the pulpit, you'll never gain that church back. I was told a story one time by a dear friend of mine. This dear friend of mine told me a story about some of his family that was related to him. He was in that family that was a preacher. And he said, this man's in heaven now, but he said, this man was a good preacher. He said, this man was a godly man. But he said, one day they had some church problems. And this man was the pastor. And this man got in the pulpit one Sunday morning and he got mad. And some people had stirred him up and made him mad. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, you come on up here, I'll whip you. He said, I'll take my fist to you. Come on up here. That church never recovered from that right there. Now, I want to say this to you. Every church is one argument away from it damaging the church permanently. Let me tell you something, church. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how small you are. You cannot afford arguments and splits. You can't afford that. You've got to stay close to God. You've got to stay close to the Bible. And when you get in the Bible, you're going to learn to let a lot of things go. I help you. You say, preacher, but you just don't know what they said about me. I'm going to ask you a question. You know, I'm on radio every day of my life somewhere. And you know, if you've ever listened to me at all, you know I ruffle some people's furs. And I don't want to do that intentionally. I love every one of you. I didn't say that about the doctors to make you mad. I honor men with doctor's degrees. But I just think we got too much personality in preaching. But here's the deal. Let me tell you something. Do you think people don't talk about me? Do you think that people would... There are people right now that would love to see me off the radio. Why, brother, there are people right now that don't like the way I preach on the radio. There's some that even tried to tell me how to preach on the radio, believe it or not. I don't pay criticism any attention. I try to just throw it away. Amen? I'm not going to spend my life. God did not call me to fight criticism. God called me to preach, and so therefore, that's what I'm going to do. Well, now, Saul, he didn't like that statement that was being made. He was moved by words. All right? Now, I tell you this. Let's notice another. Saul liked the fame, by the way. He said they give David 10,000, only give me 1,000. Saul liked that glory. And I'm going to say this to you. If you like the limelight, if you like the spotlight, you'll get in trouble with that one day. I promise you. See, David didn't seek that. David was out keeping the sheep. He never asked to be king, and God anointed him king. David never sought it. When David got in the palace, he never started a conspiracy to overthrow King Saul. He never. I'm going to say this to you young preachers. You're sitting under your pastor. You need to wait your turn. You'll get your turn one day if you'll wait on God. But you don't need to undercut him because you got family in the church and because you can root that man out and take his church. That's wicked as the devil. I just want you to know that. Amen. And we've got that going on all over the country. Preachers cutting other preachers so they can get their pulpit. And you know what you are? You're Absalom. That's what you are. That's what Absalom did in the Bible, and he wrecked a whole nation and caused a civil war. Amen. That's right. And you're going to wreck the whole church doing that kind of stuff. And it ought to be dealt with. It ought to be said something about. Amen. I mean, that's just practical living. You say, when I preach, I don't like you pulling the weeds. Well, don't grow them and I won't pull them. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I'm just trying to help you now. Help you understand that Saul here, he liked that fame. So now look on in that verse. Verse number 8. I'm in 1 Samuel 18:8. The Bible says, "And what can he have more but the kingdom?" Well, here it is. Now Saul's old heart gets festered up. And we're going to study in the next verse. And I'm going to get to it in the next verse, what he said there. And that'll be the remainder of the message. But now Saul is, he is really going down the wrong road here. Now he's heard this saying, it's rubbed him wrong. He's thinking about it now. And he's beginning to, and Saul forgot one thing. Saul forgot that God had already told him through the prophet Samuel that he was going to change kings. Saul tried to hold on to that kingdom for all his life. Saul's plans was for Jonathan to be king. And Jonathan even had, and we've already studied that, he had more spirituality than Saul. He realized he was not going to be king. Now Saul, for some, when you get in the flesh, you believe anything. When you get in the flesh, you will believe anything. Now you remember that. When you get in the flesh, you believe anything. And you'll start thinking things that ain't true. Pastor, you get in the flesh, you're going to think this one's against you, that one's against you, that deacon's against me. And a lot of times people ain't against you. The devil makes you think that. Did you know that? The devil does this tactic. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about what I do. Nobody cares about me. You say, well, how do you know that? He's used that on me a million times. You know, I just preach the Bible and I love everybody. And I'm not on the national stage. I'm not in every pulpit every Sunday, every week of my life. And you know, I know that. And here's the thing about it. I know where my place is. I just preach where I'm asked to preach. And I do what I'm asked to do. But you know what? The old devil come to me sometimes. He'll say, boy, you've been in this 40 years and nobody ever calls you to preach. And boy, nobody ever calls you for this meeting over here. Nobody ever calls. Man, they must not like you. You just don't fit in. Why, you don't even fit in with the fundamentalists. You're not. But you know what? Let me say this to you. Thank God for those of you who do love me. Thank God for those of you who write me letters. Thank God for those of you who respect me. When I come into your churches now, and I'm not an old man, but I'm an older man now. I'm not 20 now. I've got a little gray on the roof now. And I come into churches now and men respect me and preachers, and I want to thank you for that. I thank you for the respect you give me and my wife and the hospitality that many of you show me when I'm in your churches. I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to know you got a preacher on the radio that ain't after your money, and I'm not after what you can do for me. I'm here for what God can do for you. Amen. I'm trying to help you. Amen. And let you see in the Lord. All right. So he said, what more can he have the kingdom? Right now, let's just notice this last verse here, and this will be the end of the message. Verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Notice that, from that day forward. Now, this praise, and no doubt David probably enjoyed those young girls singing to him. David and Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. They probably enjoyed that, but this praise would cause a rift between Saul and David. It would never be fixed. And David now is going to have to run for his life because of all this. But here it was. That was God's way of doing it to get David to the throne. You understand? But now here's Saul. And I want to talk about this because I'm taking the life of David and just giving you practical things. The old green-eyed monster of envy and jealousy rose up. And the Bible said that Saul eyed David from that day forward. You ever seen this? Pastors will get jealous of somebody in the church and start eyeing them from that. When you start doing that, your ministry is over. When you start eyeing somebody in your church and getting jealous of them, now I believe you ought to be vigilant. And I believe you ought to be on guard. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of wolves in the church. And I think you ought to watch that. I mean, a man comes in, tries to take all your people and get them thinking his way and all that. Well, you got problems. I've had that happen. I mean, over the years of pastoring, I've had a little bit of everything happen. But let me say this to you, that you cannot be jealous. The Bible said anger is cruel and wrath is, and I'm not quoting it word for word, but in the book of Proverbs it said that anger is outrageous. I mean, but envy and strife will bring you down. Now let me get this verse right here. All right, jealousy. Now he eyed him from that day forward. He began to be jealous. So let me just give you the definition of jealousy. It is the uneasiness which arises from the fear that another does or will enjoy some advantage which we desire to have for ourselves. In other words, men get jealous over different things. Some men get jealous because this guy's ministry is bigger than theirs. Well, let me say, there's a lot of preachers that are more famous than me. There's a lot of preachers, and I quite frankly, there's a lot of preachers doing a whole lot more than I'm doing. Okay, I'm just going to say there's a lot better radio preachers than me. I want you to understand that, okay? And there's a lot of men went before me that were better, way better preachers than me, and I don't attain to that, okay? But I want to say to you, I'm not to be jealous of any man. Many years ago, I told you the story. I was a young preacher. I'd been preaching about 2 years. Another man had been preaching about 6 months. Matter of fact, I helped him announce his call to preach. He come to me. I talked to him about it, and we talked about it. And so he announced his call to preach. I believe the Lord was calling him to preach, and he did. And I helped him as a young preacher. But you know, he was a very much older man than me. Therefore, he was more mature than me. At 20 year old, I was 20. He was probably 40. Okay, so he was older than me. Well, at least 35 anyway. Well, so the pastor... the man had been preaching about 6 months, and the pastor at that time, and I'm not saying, you know, he did right or wrong, but he put him in for assistant pastor. And the devil rose up on my shoulder and said, now look at that. He said, you helped that guy get started in preaching. Said, now you've been preaching 2 years. He's been preaching 6 months. He's already outdone you. He's assistant pastor, and you're nothing. Well, now let's fast forward in history a little bit. I ended up pastoring that church. But let me say something about that. We're not to get jealous. You remember that arose in Peter and John? And Peter said, Lord, what's this man going to do? Now, John and Peter were friends. Matter of fact, they went in the temple at the hour of prayer together in Acts chapter number 3. They were friends. They were part of the three, Peter, James, and John. John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And Peter said, Lord, what's he going to do? And John, and you know what the Lord basically told him? Ain't none of your business. He said, what is it to thee if he tarry till I come? You know, it ain't none of my business if Jim over here preaches 15 revivals. I don't preach none. My business is to do what God tells me to do. Well, preacher, how do you get meetings? Do you call people and remind them and refresh their memory that you're out there? Hogwash and pickle juice. If I want meetings, I get on my knees and pray for them. I've got a list I pray for. I pray for different types of meetings. I've been able to preach a prayer conference. Why? Because I prayed about it. Amen. I'd like to do some other things. I'm not going to tell you what I'm praying about. And so then if a man calls me to do them, then I can say it's of God. I'm not going to tell you. I don't want to get in front of you so you'll get me to preach. I'm going to tell you some news. I don't want to come to your church and preach if God's not in it. If God's not laid me on your heart, I don't want to come. If God's burdened you about me coming to your church, then I say by all means, you better get me. Amen. That's the way I work my ministry, and that's the way I'm going to work it, and I'm going to die that way. Amen. I'd die before I'd ask for a place to preach. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go with God, walk with God, and love God in this day and hour. Amen. And so that's what Saul should have, but he got jealous. Now, the word envy means this. It means to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence. In other words, if you see somebody achieving more than you do or doing more than you do, you get envious at them, don't you? You get envious. Now, by the way, envy and jealousy kill a church. I want you to know that. If you got two Sunday school teachers and they're jealous of each other, it'll kill the church. If you got somebody's jealous young preachers in the church, he lets Bill preach more than he does me. Well, do you pray? Do you ask God? You say, well, that's just so old-fashioned to pray. What about passing cards out? Put your cards in your pocket. What about putting it on the social media? I'm open for dates. Throw that thing away. Don't do it that way. Get on your knees and ask God. And I'll tell you this, when you go to the pulpit, you'll know it's God. When you get on your knees and ask God to give you a place to preach, you'll know it's God. You say, preacher, I don't have anywhere to preach. Number one, did God call you? You say, well, yes, he called me. All right, number two, you don't have anywhere? You know, there's a lot of radio stations right now. You get a radio broadcast on and go to radio preach. Oh, but I'm not a radio preacher. No, what you mean is you want a church running 100 people and pay you a nice salary and you want to root somebody. Well, anyway, I'm going on. But I'm just simply telling you, friend, that Saul, he got jealous. Saul was jealous of David, and so it caused a lot of trouble. Amen? Let me give you a verse. And I know this is talking mainly about a man and woman, but I want to pull a phrase out of this. Song of Solomon 8 and verse number 6 says, set me as a seal upon thine heart. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this month of December. We come to the end of the day, and guess what? This is our final 30-minute broadcast of the year. God bless you. It just don't seem like that, does it? But it is, and I certainly appreciate all of you for listening. Take time to write me this week. I'll give you the mailing address at the end of the broadcast. Lord willing, we'll talk to you in a brand new year. God bless you, and thank you so much for listening. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.